Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. Welcome to Money and Me, where personal finance and investing take center stage. Today, meet CEO of Moneythor, Olivier Berthies. Moneythor is a financial technology company. They have offices right here in Singapore, in Paris, and in Tokyo, and they work on developing banking software components for better digital banking for their customers and enhanced marketing and analytics for banks. So they've worked with the likes of DBS, Standard Chartered, CIMB, to improve their digital banking services and to help customers manage their finances better as well. CEO Olivier Berthies is a data science and behavioral science expert, and he joins us now for a discussion on what tomorrow's bank could look like. We're also going to survey the landscape of digital and open banking, what institutions are embracing here in Singapore, and what the forces of disruption mean for you, the consumer. First up, good morning, Olivier. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Michelle. It's great to be here.
So today is the last day of the Singapore FinTech Festival. It's been held online for about 5 days. Olivier, what has stood out for you?
Yeah, it's been a really busy week. To be honest, we thought that it would be quieter because it was online. We've, I guess, been veterans on the Moneythor side of the Singapore FinTech Festival, and it's always been this huge show and expo with, you know, a lot of people and meetings back to back. And yeah, the expectation was that it would be quieter this week by being online. You know, you stand behind your PC and you watch this. It has actually been incredibly busy, and the content has been massive as well. The quality of the speakers and the networking opportunities which we all have in the fintech scene behind the scene. I think one of the additional dimension, which we didn't have before, and it has been helped actually by the digital aspect of the event, is the fact it's been truly global. There's been actually a Singapore FinTech Festival in multiple cities across the globe, with all of them streaming their own events. And, well, I guess it has added an additional layer of busy activities to have all those cities throughout the world really looking at Singapore as the, you know, the capital of fintech worldwide for this week.
All right. Let's move now to a big headline for the fintech world, SG Findex. Now, that stands, listener, for the Singapore Financial Data Exchange. And this involves the consolidation of financial data from multiple sources like banks and government agencies all in one place, reducing the need for logins to many different apps or channels. And it's meant to simplify the process of viewing and managing finances. So broadly, Olivier, what do you think SG Findex will bring to the banking industry in Singapore?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big news. It's really big news, and something we were tracking and hoping the practitioners for quite some time. You know, it's part of that all open banking movement, which really started in Europe with their Regional Payment Service Directive, which is now also active in Australia. And it's fundamentally, as you described, this ability for consumers to have a unified view over their finances across all the financial institutions, all the banks that they interact with. So it was really, I mean, great and anticipated news to see this arriving to Singapore. But of course, with an additional value and dimension in Singapore, which is it's not limited to only your banking data, but what sits in your accounts and your credit cards, but also some government information. So you also have your CPF, your SRS. You have granularity of information down to the unit trust and mutual funds that you have access to. So a very awaited development, and something which can really provide an additional dimensions to the way people manage their finances. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, consolidating this way, it's something that most of us are doing with Excel spreadsheets and various downloads. But to now have access to this in a unified manner through our banks, and we still need to select a bank to have access to this unified view. It's a big change and much awaited, and which is likely to transform how financial planning and financial well-being is delivered to Singaporean consumers.
I think there's a list of banks that are currently involved in SG Findex. Do you see this development developing in phases? So, you know, more information being consolidated, information that you spend on insurance, for example. Do you think that there is space to expand this initiative?
Oh, definitely. I think you're right. I mean, currently there are seven banks of part of the first batch of sharing data. But there are already plans which have been indicated by MAS to include more data moving forward. Insurance information is definitely part of the scope that's likely to come in the future. But there are also expectations or hopes that the depth of the data is also going to be increased. Currently, you can aggregate your end of month balances and only balances and historic, you know, for the past 3 months, mm-hmm. but you do not have access to the day-to-day real-time transactional activity. So you cannot go to this level of detail, and there are hopes and expectations that we'll have more depth in the future. Breadth is great at the moment. Again, as I said, from, you know, your loans, assets, liabilities across institutions plus government agencies, the depth is lacking, and the depth with transaction level information and more real time, together with insurance information, as you rightly say, are likely to come afterwards.
Great insights there. How do Singaporean customers access these SG FinDex insights?
From within your existing online banking, mobile banking app. So, you know, whether you bank with, you know, any of the seven banks which are part of the launch, so the Citibank, DBS, HSBC, Maybank, OCBC, Standard Chartered, and UOB, you log on to your bank, as you normally do, you know, to check your balances, pay your bills, look at your last transactions, and you will see an additional menu there, which will be called SG FinDex. It's already actually launched in a number of the banks. You go there, you are actually transferred to SingPass. You authenticate yourself, you select which banks and which data you want to share, and that information will now be retrieved in the main bank you've selected to create this SG FinDex account. And it's from this point onwards within your existing bank app that you will see that consolidated information, plus any kind of, you know, contextual insights and personalized recommendations on top, which these banks you've selected can now deliver.
He's CEO of Manito, Olivier Berthi, is joining us live here in Money and Me. So, Olivier, we know that MAS, since 2016, has been trying to facilitate the development of open banking. So, MAS has encouraged banks to adopt application programming interfaces since 2016 and spearheaded many initiatives to facilitate the adoption of open APIs. So, I want to ask you, how do you think SG FinDex compares with other open banking initiatives that may have been launch across the globe?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I said, the primary difference is the depth versus the breadth. The ability, and if we look at, you know, open banking in Europe, which has been around now for about 2 years, you have access to all your aggregated multi-bank transaction information on a daily basis. But you do not have access to your retirement in, data. You do not have access to the equivalent of your HDB data. So it is very deep in other jurisdictions, but not very broad. I think really the benefit and the uniqueness of Singapore's approach to open banking is that breadth of information. The additional specificity as well is that the government is facilitating the security and the connectivity. And that's different. In all the other jurisdictions, those application programming interface, that ability to connect is exposed by each bank individually. Now, in Singapore, it's actually centralized. And there is that government portal, which is the intermediary and the secure, trusted intermediary to facilitate this exchange of information. That's one of the key differences as well with the other initiatives worldwide.
Okay,
and definitely a plus.
I would like to pick up on that theme of centralization. So another big headline was MAS basically awarding digital banking licenses four to date, right? A digital full bank license to C, a second one to a consortium Singtel and Grab, and then digital wholesale banking licenses to China's Ant Group and a consortium that included a list of different companies, including Greenland Financial, Link Lodges Hong Kong. The list goes on. But my question is, do you think that open banking developments could be a bigger disruption to traditional banks here than digital banks?
Well, for now, open banking, or, you know, SG FinDex, is only open to incumbents, only open to the banks. So it's certainly creating an additional level of competition between existing banks, But at the moment, the new entrants, fintech, B2C fintech firms, or even those new digital banks, are not included in SG Findex. So you could argue that open banking is definitely going to add competition between large banks, mm-hmm. but not necessarily help the new entrants compete with the big banks. They are currently excluded from that open banking scheme.
Mm-hmm. In terms of a disruptive force, though, you know, which do you see as bigger disruptive forces to traditional banks?
Yeah, it's very interesting because what we've seen also in other markets is the arrival of new digital banks, neobanks, virtual banks have certainly shaken up the market and have forced incumbents to react. And the primary reaction we've seen has been around the user experience and the quality of the content that they're delivering to customers. We've seen significant improvement in the digital services provided by the incumbents. They could have, you know, sleep a little bit at the wheel, provide just basic capabilities.
Right.
All of them have to seriously enhance and up their game to deliver more value online, because that's really a big focus of those new entrants. They excel at user experience. So a big change in forcing really the incumbents to deliver more value to their customers, not just transactional utilitarian capabilities, which unfortunately has been what internet banking, mobile banking has historically been about.
Okay, CEO of MoneyThor, Olivier Berthi, is joining us live here on Money and Me. He's also a data science and behavioral science expert. Let's talk a little bit about shifting expectations. So much has focused on seamlessness of customer experience when it comes to digital banking. Can you share with us the landscape of customer expectations when they look at a digital bank? What are people deciding that they want from their digital bank?
Yeah, so you know, our relationship as consumers with digital banking services and so mobile banking apps, you know, internet banking services, has historically been very transactional. Right? It is the place where you have a job to do. And it's generally, one, check my balance, two, where are my last transactions, has my payment come in, you know, have I been overcharged, and three, pay a bill. So this is really the traditional one. So historically, it's been very, again, you know, utilitarian. Now, and I think it's fair to say that the pandemic has changed, actually, those expectations quite a bit. Mm. Rising concerns by consumers and, of course, businesses, too, about their finances. One of the examples we're seeing with digital banking services now is that, you know, in the past, for example, it's been tricky to convince people of financial planning, something you might do once a year. Mm. But with the current situation, we're seeing a lot more interest from people in short-term financial planning assistance. And mobile banking, internet banking, is the first place that comes to mind to get this kind of assistance. So, for example, we're seeing an emphasis on setting up emergency funds to make sure that, you know, consumers can cope with unexpected events. And you expect to be able to do that through your digital services. So I would say that customers' expectation with digital banking going beyond transactional really give me short-term, middle-term financial assistance. And of course, on top of the overall anxiety and incertitude generated by the pandemic situation, stay-at-home policies have also changed our spending patterns, right? So more e-commerce, cashless transactions, increased utility bills, new digital subscriptions. So our patterns have changed. So it has created an additional layer of uncharted territory for all of us, and has generated an increased appetite for spend tracking tools and cash flow tools. So the features we're expecting in our digital banking are designed to help us get a better perspective on what's happening. So new tools, new capabilities, a lot more demand from consumers, from their digital banking services, and then from their digital banks moving forward.
What is your take on the pace of change with which local banks are adapting to these new expectations of customers?
Yeah, so Monifa, we're based in Singapore and we work with banks in Singapore, but we also operate globally. Mm. You know, we're lucky here. The experiences offered by our banks here is actually excellent. So we're in a good place. The capabilities they offer, they tend to get it. Right? There's been already transformation being fairly advanced. We're really in the place where a lot of this innovation is happening and is launching.
We're in the thick of it then.
We're definitely in the thick of it, as again, it's confirmed by the, you know, back to our first point about the Singapore FinTech Festival. there's a lot of attractions and a lot of eyeballs on what Singapore is doing in this space.
So can you give us some insight into how banks are personalizing the digital banking experiences and what you see around the corner, perhaps, for the future of banks?
Yeah. So, you know, again, to respond to the shifting customer demands around more intelligent experiences online, more tracking, spend tracking tools, information, financial planning, the way banks have reacted is first and foremost by leveraging the data they already have, right? And they host a lot of data. Historically, they've used that data in a very selfish way. You know, it's been used internally for compliance, for risk management, for profitability analysis, segmentations, and marketing campaigns, of course. Now they've shifted to using that data to create better user experiences and deliver richer content, truly designed to help people improve their financial wellness. And at the same time, implement those tools that I mentioned earlier. You know, again, spend tracking, personalized alerts, contextual recommendations, actionable nudges to help you save more. But it's fundamentally data, which is unlocking the ability for banks to personalize and create those interactive, value-add, actionable experiences.
So moving away from a transactional approach to the customer to a relational approach to a customer, then what sort of tools are banks offering customers to help manage their finances currently?
So if you log on and actually, again, even with your banks here in Singapore, you can see you have access to features that are giving you much richer information about where your money goes, actually both money in, money out. You have those summary views. You have the breakdowns. You have the category-based spending. So the first kind of features you already have access to are those insights, analytical capabilities they provide you. You know, you have that snapshot. You can get a pulse of where your finance go in a much easier way than before because they provide you with those summary screens. Now, the next step and next typical tool that we see out there is to help with the savings. And helping you save is always easier when you have a goal in mind. You save for something, whether it's a short-term goal to buy a new phone, or it's a middle-term goal or a long-term goal, kids' universities, retirement, etc. So the next set of tools we're seeing are the ones designed to help you save and achieve your objectives. And there will be, of course, the ability for you to indicate what those goals are, but also to help you along the way, you know, to nudge you about making contributions to your goals, to remind you about these needs to save regularly, to identify when you have more spare cash than usual and suggest a contribution. And all that behind the scenes is powered by data and processing and personalization. So, in summary, spend tracking, helping you become a better spender, and at the same time, helping you become a better saver and achieve your goals in the long term.
Olivier, what should banks consider as they seek to innovate to better serve their customers?
I think they really need to listen to them a little bit more than they used to historically. I think you made this point earlier. We've really moved from a pushing product strategy to really a customer-centric strategy with more banks. I mean, all of them have actually talked about being customer-centric for ages, but it's only in the past few years that we've seen that shift. So, moving forward, and it's not just in the banking industry, any company to succeed has to really put the customer at the center of everything they do. It took banks probably a little bit more time than others, but I think we're getting there.
Okay, well, fascinating to have your insights. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Michelle. It was a pleasure.
He's CEO of Money Thor Financial Tech Company, Olivier Berthies, there.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.